All right, amen. Rebecca and Calvin have decided to name their girl Tryphena Tryphosa Tablante. That was my suggestion, but they didn't take it. So, just like those two girls in Romans 16, it says they labored much in the Lord. Amen? Oh, well. Turn to 1 John 1 and verse 7. I know we read it this morning, but 1 John 1 and verse 7. I want to speak tonight on the subject, three ways to save your church. Three ways to save your church. And I hope this will be heard. I am told that a lot of people from other churches and areas and countries listen to these sermons, so I hope they have a church to go to. I hope people who watch on live streaming or whatever they do, YouTube, Facebook, our website, I hope they have a church to go to. And churches need saving, man. It's been some rough times for local churches. I've mentioned to you that just probably in the last decade, up the road here, the New Hope Baptist Church is closed. The Richardson Road Baptist Church on Richardson Road off 62 is closed. The First Baptist Church in the village of Gowanda is closed. Pleasant Valley Baptist Church on the Rez on Route 438 is almost closed. There's a couple people left keeping that open. Those are the Baptist churches between here and the new work we want to start in April in Perrysburg, a church we're going to call the Countryside Baptist Church. There's no church there now, just a building that we own that we're renovating. And so that's just between here and Perrysburg. Talking about hymn books, a lady called me this week, pastor's wife that I know, a good friend of my wife, and I know him casually from Tri-State Fellowship meetings, good man. And she called me, and I was talking to her on the phone, and she wanted to know if we needed any song books for any of our church plants or anything. And I said, boy, I don't think so. I said, why? What's up? And she said, well, we've decided to close our church. And after 22 years, and praise the Lord for 22 years of faithfulness there. Praise the Lord for that. The church didn't work out, and it's just over the border in New York, just into Pennsylvania. That church closed last week. I remember going to a church, and some of you went to that church with me in North Evans, where the entire length of its history was 8 years. And it was a bright and shining light. It was kind of like John the Baptist. Didn't last long, but sure was a bright and shining light. Boy, we had some good days in there, just amazing times. But it started and went for 8 years and closed down. And even to this day, I drive by that building on Versailles Plank Road up in North Evans. And I look at it, and the building has been changed into a house. And that breaks my heart. I preached my first sermon ever in that building. And it's been changed into a house. And churches are living organisms. And if you know anything about living organisms, whether they're humans, animals, plants, they can live and they can die. They can die. And we want our churches to live. And for anybody who's listening to this, wherever you may be, I hope you have a local New Testament church that you can attend in your area, and that it would be your great personal interest to make sure your church stays open as a testimony for Jesus Christ in your town, whether it's big, little, medium-sized, or whatever. Churches are having difficult times. There are decreases in attendance in almost every church I know of. As I talk with pastors, of course, I don't know anything, everything. I talk to missionaries. I've talked to missionaries who have said to me that, you know, they like to come to our church or churches on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights because so many pastors are embarrassed by the Wednesday night attendances. They don't even want missionaries to come on Wednesday nights anymore and present their works. And this is probably a product of some of what we mentioned at the beginning of the sermon this morning, where Jesus said in the prophecies, Matthew 24:12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And people's hearts for church is waxing cold. People's hearts for people, other people besides themselves, is waxing cold because of all the sin in the world. But we don't ever want to use that as an excuse. We can be different. We can be different. And we can be in fellowship. It says here in 1 John 1 and verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, you're here on a Sunday night. Most of you come back Wednesday night, and we're glad you do. And I know Wednesday nights are tough, and I know we're in the midst of winter here in western New York. It really hasn't been that bad, though. But we've had some snowy days and Sundays and stuff. But and I know some people are sick, and boy, we live in a day of traveling, like unparalleled traveling, and what obstacles we face. I mean, back in the roaring days of the 70s and 80s, and some of you remember those days in our churches, children did not have the options on Sunday mornings they have today. I remember some of the young little children that were coming to our church in Angola, Hilltop Baptist Church, and they stopped coming, and I ran across them, and, hey, I haven't seen you recently. Oh, he says, we have archery on Sunday mornings. Never heard of that in my life, archery on Sunday mornings. And it's taken them right out, haven't seen them since. Precious children, precious children. There's so many options on a Sunday morning for children today, it's not funny. I mean, every sport you can imagine they can get involved in on Sunday mornings. Football, soccer, volleyball, archery, horseback riding, you name it. They can go to big buildings that have bounce houses and play in them. And boy, I'll tell you, they don't have the discernment at that age. You give a kid a list of options like that on a Sunday and say, you want to go to those or you want to go to church? And boy, we live in a day of what one prophet called forgotten children. He says, you forget me and my law, God said, and I'll forget your children. And man, we're there. It is tough getting kids into church, but we don't want to quit. I'll just put this in before we go on, too. We have a bus. We have a bus out in the parking lot we paid $55,000 for, sitting there getting covered by snow week after week after week after week. And we need some drivers. We need somebody that has CDL licenses to step up, or others to get CDL licenses. And I have heard from people in this church who would like to use that bus and would like to pick up people and bring them to the house of the Lord. There's people waiting. I believe, to be bus workers. And that is something that could bring precious souls to the house of the Lord. And I think God would be happy with that. So I'll put that out there and let the Holy Spirit work on you. And maybe some of you want to get a CDL license and go through all the rigmarole. And it's just so complex now. It's not funny, but it's possible. It's doable. Not many churches in New York have bus ministries anymore, but we can have one. We can have two buses going now and reach some souls. But churches, it's part of God's will for our life. If we walk in the light, it says here, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God. On Wednesdays, we're talking about our walk with God. And if we walk in the light, one of the products of that is fellowship. One another. Fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Our church becomes very, very important to us if we walk in the light. And so I want to give you three ways to save your church. And this is for us and to anybody who's listening. What you can do specifically, whether anyone else does it or not. Number one is be faithful. Number one is be faithful. We have a promise in Proverbs 28 and verse 20. A faithful man shall abound in blessings. Isn't that a wonderful promise? A faithful man shall abound in blessings. If I ask for a raise of hands, and I won't, but if I ask for a raise of hands tonight, and I said, how many of you would like to abound in blessings? I would hope everybody would raise your hand, except maybe the most lukewarm or something. But I hope you'd raise your hand and say, boy, I like that. How can I sign up? Just be faithful. You know, anyone can be faithful. Poor people can be faithful. Uneducated people can be faithful. People who aren't, you know, that healthy can be faithful. Brother Fred's here tonight. I'm going to pick on you, Brother Fred. I don't mean to embarrass you or anything. But last Tuesday, he fell. He blacked out and fell on his head and got taken to the hospital. And how many stitches did you get in your eye? Six stitches. All right. Six stitches. Last Tuesday. Anybody want to guess where he was Wednesday night? He was in church. And he has to rely upon you wonderful people that give him rides, Pastor Seth, John up the Grove, Kyle, I've seen you, Sean, I don't know who else. I didn't mean to miss anybody. He comes to everything. He comes to Sunday school, church, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He comes to men's breakfasts. He'll go to teen rallies if we'll let him. He is Mr. Faithful. He's Mr. Faithful when it comes to fellowship, church attendance. And I don't know how. Did you ever walk in your life? Were you able to walk when you were? Very slow. And do you have cerebral palsy? Okay. Pretty much how long have you been in a wheelchair? Over 20 years. All right. And by the way, he held a job. He worked at Wegmans for how many years? 15 years, and he went around with a little machine and did inventory there, and he's just faithful. I remember when I heard Tuesday he fell and went to the hospital and got stitches in his head, I said, boy, this is going to be weird Wednesday night without Fred there. But he was here. He was here. I know people perfectly healthy within a stone's throw of the church. You can barely get them here on time for anything, and if they come to a service a week, it's amazing. Wow. Now, the reason why being faithful to fellowship is so important, because Jesus is, on the judgment day, it says some people are going to hear these words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. It doesn't say enter into heaven. They're going to be in heaven, but heaven's going to be different for everybody. I really think there's going to be people with different amounts of joy in heaven than others. Different amounts of reward, different standing. Paul once said, as the stars of heaven are different, so is the resurrection of the dead. Each star differs in glory. Heaven's going to be different for everyone based on what? Faithfulness. Anyone can be faithful. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be educated. Just be faithful. Just show up. And so it says, and a faithful man will abound in blessings in this life, and will be honored and blessed with rewards and ruling and reigning with Christ in the next life, and into a special kind of joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Just be faithful. Just show up. Show up at church. Be faithful with your Bible every day. Become an addicted Bible reader. Be faithful with prayer. Be faithful with soul winning, visitation. Be faithful in tithes and offerings, and just be faithful. The psalmist says in Psalm 106, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land." Don't focus on hypocrites or people that are quitting or slowing down or getting lukewarm. Just don't mind with them. You finish your race. A lot of people drop out of a marathon. But you finish your race, and God will bless you for it. Just be faithful. Be faithful to your church. I don't care if it's the smallest church on earth. Be faithful to your church. Proverbs 20, verse 6 asks, "Who can find a faithful man?" And in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Just be faithful. That's something you children can do. Other children are going to play soccer and football and volleyball and archery and do all kinds of things on Sunday. And to you, it's going to look like they're the ones having all the fun. But you be faithful. And God will bless you in this life and in the next life. Man, I remember growing up on the farm, and we had a 40-acre farm that went back deep, real deep. And I don't know if God set this up on purpose or not. But there was a street that ran parallel to our farm called Idlewood Terrace. House after house after house after house after house after house after house, all the way alongside our farm. And while we were working out on the farm, they were swimming in their pools. They were playing football. They were riding their mini bikes. They were riding their snowmobiles in the winter and all these types of things. And I used to just be sweating, and we'd be just working, and we'd be faithful to our church and everything. And I envied them. I could tell you the rest of the night stories of my neighbors who are now human wrecks. They're a wreck of a human being. Because they never learned how to work. They never learned how to be faithful. They never went to church. Didn't know the Lord. A couple of them got saved. But, boy, what a mess. Some that have died because of their lifestyle. And I remember, you know, you're working and working and sweating, and you're looking over at them all having a good time. That was a tough thing. But be found faithful. God blesses faithfulness. And this is not the first time we see faithfulness taking a back seat in a lot of even believers in Christ. They're not faithful. They don't come to Sunday school anymore. They don't come to Sunday nights anymore. They don't come Wednesday nights anymore. They aren't involved in ministries anymore. They're not faithful. It's not the first time this has happened. Way back in the Psalms, in Psalm 12 and verse 1, David, this is 3,000 years ago. Here's his prayer: "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." He had a big kingdom. He had about 1.3 million men just in his army. That's a big army. But he commented on the people of his day, and it says, "The faithful fail from among the sons of men." And so that's a temptation, I think, that has just tempted every generation just to give it up and just, you know, others are dropping off. I think I will too. No, you be faithful. Just be faithful. Number two, be friendly. Be friendly. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Here's something we can all do for our church, is learn how to be friendly. In Proverbs 18 verse 24 is a verse that certainly would be worth memorizing. "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Now, most people believe the second part of that verse is speaking about Christ, and it certainly is. But I believe God wants to give you some friends in your local church who will stick closer than a brother. Your deepest friends will be church members, probably not family members. Occasionally you see an exceptional family where everyone's Christian and they support each other, and it's amazing to watch, and it's a great testimony of the grace of God. But usually your best friends who will stick closer than a brother to you will be those you find in the Lord's church and in fellowship. And they're going to take care of you. But a friend that hath friends must show himself friendly. Someone wrote a little poem one time. It says, I went out to find a friend and no one could be found. I went out to be a friend and friends were all around. What a difference. People go out looking for friends. You're not going to find any. But you go out and be friendly, you're going to have them everywhere. You're going to have the same thing. The church needs to be a friendly place. It needs to be a friendly place. It needs to be a place that you can help. You can save your church. If you'll say, you know, I'm going to go to church this Sunday and Sunday night, and I'm going to go Wednesday night, I'm just going to be friendly. I'm just going to be friendly. I'm going to take it upon myself personally to be friendly to others. And if you study out the Bible on what it talks about friendship, that can get really, really deep. I would encourage you to be friendly. Sometimes I talk to people and I try to study answers so I know how to answer people. We have answers last year. But I do this, and I probably shouldn't, but I've come up with an answer because I get it sometimes. Well, the church is full of hypocrites, and nobody cared about me, and nobody talked to me when I was there. You know what my answer is? I said, why don't you come back and show us how to do it? I say that to people I've done that probably a dozen times. Well, why don't you show up and come back and show us how to do it? I said, if we're not friendly and we're not caring, you come in and show us. We need your help in our church. You're needed. You come and show us how to do it. I haven't had one take me up on the offer yet. But I just like to stick it to them sometimes, I think, you know, when they got all these complaints. Anyone can find a hypocrite to hide behind. You know, whatever you're looking for at church is what you're going to find. If you come looking for God, you're going to find God at church. If you come looking for false, you're going to find false. You find exactly what you're looking for, everyone. If you're looking for Christ, you can find Christ at church. Looking for peace, you can find peace at church. Looking for a contention, an argument, you can pick apart the pastor. People do that just habitually nowadays. They know all about him and his faults and his lack of leadership and blah, blah, blah. And they're glad to tell everybody. You find what you're looking for when you go to church. And if you're looking for some truth from the Bible, if you're looking for God to change your life, that's what you'll find, a God that will change your life. It all depends on what you're looking for. And I want to encourage you, when you come to church, be friendly. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Have that friendly go so deep that it becomes caring. Caring. We've mentioned that before, and we need to remind ourselves sometimes it's good to have a friendly church. It's better to have a caring church that cares about people. I would be glad if I had a friendly doctor, but I want him to be caring more than friendly. You know, if he says, hey, you want to go golf, Art? I guess. I'd really like you to tell me what's wrong with me and try to help me get better here. And is there any medicine or something I could take? You know, I'd rather have them care about me than take me golfing. So we want to be friendly, but we want that to develop even stronger into caring for each other. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And no matter who you are tonight, children, teenagers, young adults, learn how to be able to go up to somebody with love in your heart and say, hi, what's your name? We're glad to have you here today. Where are you from? What do you do for a living? Is there anything in your life right now I could pray about? Those aren't hard questions. And every one of us can break out. We talked about Jesus this morning, walking with Jesus. And when you walk with Jesus, you walk in love and you find out he loves this person, this person, this person. And you get to some of those stories and you say, you can't possibly love these people, the Samaritans. You kidding? But he does. And this woman's done this and he loves her. And we find that he's just caring for people. And listen, you know, some of you have an obstacle in your life you have to overcome, and that's your shyness. You're introverted. You're fearful to talk to humans. But God's work is people. God's work is people. And I know that the Holy Spirit can give us boldness. We see that the first century church prayed, and the place was shaken where they were praying, men and women and boys and girls, and it says they spake the word of God with boldness. And you can't go through life and just say, well, I'm just shy and I'm introverted and I'm fearful and everything, so certainly God understands why I'm not doing his work. No, that's got to be overcome. That's got to be overcome. And God can help you be an overcomer and be friendly and be caring. We can't just sit on our hands and do nothing, but we got to realize people. And so be careful about the habit of just coming in and plopping in your seat. This is where I sit during church and get around, shake hands, meet people, say, hey, I don't know you. I see you here all the time. What is your name? Where are you from? What town do you live in? What do you do? And you can get to learn people, and boy, I'll tell you, you end up hearing things about them that just need prayer. Boy, I didn't know that person was going through this. You know, I'm going to be praying for you, and sometimes you can ask them, how's this thing going? Be faithful. Don't quit. Don't slow down. Don't give up. Don't get lukewarm. Be faithful, number one. Number two, be friendly. Be friendly. Be kind to people. Smile at people. Shake their hand. Don't bolt right out, you know. Just stick around and say, how you doing? Be friendly. That'll help save your church. Number three, be fired up. I'll close with this. Be fired up. Be fired up. I thought about this a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago or something, and Brother Tyler Warden, he doesn't go to our church anymore, but most of you know him. He used to come here a long time, and he moved to Casadega, and he goes to New Beginnings Baptist Church. And by the way, he goes around and picks up people for church every service, even Thursday night. They have Thursday night service. He picks up, they assigned him with people to pick up, takes them to church. He's having a good time. Now he's getting involved in Amazing Grace missions. He's helped so many churches with their flooring, carpet, you know, everything. He's a blessing. And now 72 years old, he wants to join up with Amazing Grace mission. But so he asked me what I thought. I said, go. He said, should I go? He says, there's one problem, though. And I said, what's that? I said, it's money. Don't worry about it. Our church will get behind you. Our church is rich. We're loaded. I'll get anyone that wants to go to a soul-winning conference. I'll get them there. We'll get them there somehow. Amen. He said, no, that's not the problem. I said, what's the problem? He says, I heat by wood. I heat my house by wood. I have a cat. I say, that's a problem. Because Tyler's all alone. You know, he's a single fella. And I never thought about it, but I have thought about it. But, I mean, it's just common sense. If you heat by wood, you got to keep the fire going. Fires just don't keep going on their own. You've got to keep your fire going. You don't let it go out and hope the neighbors come in and say, hey man, your fire's out. We're going to stoke it up for you and throw some wood on it and split some wood for you here. No, that you have got to keep your own fire going. And every church member has to say, hey, look, if this is the Laodicean age or not, I don't know. But I am not going to be lukewarm. I am not going to be cold. I refuse to be like that. Jesus spewed them out of his mouth. Whatever that means, I don't know, but it doesn't sound good. The lukewarm and the cold. He said, I wish thou wert hot. In Psalm 104 and verse 4, and then it's repeated in the New Testament over in the book of Luke, or Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7. It's the psalm. The psalmist is quoted in Hebrews 1 and verse 7. What the psalmist says in Psalm 104 and verse 4, it says, "Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire." He makes his ministers a flaming fire. God has given us pastors and evangelists and apostles and teachers and prophets for the work or for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry. You're in the ministry. Every one of you, you are ministers. And God, when he's allowed to have his way in a person's life, makes his ministers a flaming fire. In Psalm 103, verse 21, it says, "Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure." You have got to tend to your own fire. And here's just two ways to do that in closing. Number one, by the Word of God. And then number two, by the God of the Word. If you'll stay in the Word, if some of you are out of your Bible, you can just see it. You can just see the fire going out. I love you. I really do. You got busy lives or busy minds, at least, and you're not in the Bible every day. And you've got to put wood on the fire every single day. And God's Word is like fire. The prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter number 23 and verse number 29, he said these words, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" God's word is like a fire. He mentioned that several times. You wonder, what in the world kept Jeremiah going? Nobody listened to him. Nobody. He had a couple friends, an Ethiopian guy and his scribe Baruch. He was his friend. He had a couple friends. But he had no converts. What kept him going? Jeremiah 5 and verse 14 says this, "Wherefore thus saith the Lord, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. My word shall be in thy mouth as fire. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord?" Jeremiah 20, verse 9, the third verse. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, but nor speak of any more of his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Every day that you're in the Bible, it's like putting wood on your fire. You've got to be in the Word. Boy, we just wake up listening to the world and we go to bed watching Hollywood. And that just takes cold water and pours it all over. Even maybe a little tiny spark God has lit in us. Hollywood will put it out every night. Man alive, we got to be in the Word. Put it. The Word is like putting wood on the fire. The psalmist said in Psalm 39 and verse 3, "While I was musing, the fire burned." While I was musing. Hollywood is amusing. It's you not using your mind. It's letting them program you. It's you shutting your mind off and seeing images change. Every 5 seconds, they change the image on a television show. So you never lose interest. So you're just zeroed in on nothing and space out. And then they go right to the commercials and they got it down so fast. It's like, and the next thing you know, 3 hours has gone by. And you're spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. But boy, you get into the Word and every day it's just like putting more logs on the fire. It's not my Word like a fire, saith the Lord. We talked a little bit about the story of those two men, Cleopas and his friend, on his way back from Jerusalem to Emmaus after Christ died, and they thought their whole ministry was shot, their hopes were gone, and a stranger walks up and starts quoting to them about Moses in the first 5 books of the Bible, and he starts quoting the Psalms, and he starts quoting the prophets to them, and these two guys are walking with this stranger, and he makes as though he's going to walk by their house, and they invite him into their house, and he's made known to them in breaking of bread that they had actually been walking with Jesus. And what was their testimony? They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he walked by the way and while he spoke to us the Word of God?" Man, that's how you get a fire. We need church members on fire. This is one way you can save your church, by being on fire. There's something about being on fire that warms up others around you. You know, if you have they used to do this in the old days. Now we got gas, everything. Briquettes, that's what they were called. Get these briquettes and you light them up and they go on fire. Poof, and pretty soon they're all red and hot. And you take one, you set it aside, and it turns black and gray and cold. But these are still red and hot. You take that one and you put it back in the fire around those that are red and hot, and it becomes red and hot. Wouldn't it be neat to have 50 people in this church on fire for God? Just on fire. Man, I've been in the Word this week. Let me show you what God gave me. And boy, I was out talking to somebody this week. I had a good time. And the Lord worked, and that would be something. It would fire us up. I want to encourage you, you've got to understand that you are personally responsible for your own fire. You got to take care of your own fire. You've got to. And we need people on fire for the Lord. I saw a saying, and I copied it down this week. It says, a quiet church is either a dying church or a dead church. We need kids that cry and people that testify. Amen. Amen. We can get fired up by the Word of God, and we can get fired up by the God of the Word, because He called Himself a consuming fire. God has described Himself in the Bible so many times to us in so many different ways. Many metaphors for His nature and character. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 24, He says this, For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. God is a fire. And you get closer to God. You know, we're out here, it's 26 degrees out or whatever, and we put a fire out on our property out there, a bonfire. The closer you get to the fire, the warmer you'll get. The farther away from the fire, the colder you'll get. People who are on fire are close to God. They're close to God. And they're in the Word of God. And they stay in fellowship, and they try to hang around those who are also on fire for the Lord. So there's 3 ways to save your church. Be faithful. Be faithful. Anyone can do that. Just be faithful. Number 2, be friendly when you come. Ask God to help you to be friendly. and how to care for others and be a part. Don't just let a couple people in the church be a part of the care ministry. No, that's something we should all be doing, caring, and then be fired up. Be fired up. Be in the Word in the morning, in the night, whenever you can, at noon. Take a little New Testament with you to work. If you get a break for lunch, read a psalm or something. Read a portion of Scripture. Let the Word of God and the God of Word fire you up. And those things, I believe, will help you save your church. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your Word tonight, Lord. We